trust God. Trust in God. Believe. Just believe. We sing those words in our songs. We write them on our t-shirts and put them on our hats and wear them as pins. We underline our Bibles wherever it says, trust in God, believe in me. We encourage others when they're going through a difficult time. Just trust God. Believe in Him. Put your trust in Him. We put those little magnets on our refrigerators. Trust God. And all is well. All is well. I liked Vicki's t-shirt this morning. She came up and she said, it is well with my soul. I like that. And I know it is with her. But oftentimes we say it's well, we trust God until we get that bad report from the doctor or until we get that shutoff notice or the only transportation we have, the engine blows up. We trust God until we lose our job. Until your spouse asks for a divorce. Until your home gets demolished by a tornado or a hurricane. Until you discover your SNAP payment is not going to be paid this month. Or maybe until you learn that your longtime pastor is leaving. We trust God. Until certain things occur in our life. It's easy to trust God until we really have to trust in God, isn't it? It's easy to say, I trust in the Lord, until we really have to trust in the Lord. The Bible talks about those who are separated or feel separated from the promises of God as being those without hope. And without God in the world. It says that in Ephesians 2. God seems absent. God seems unconcerned. God seems not interested in our particular dilemma that we are in. And you can be sure that when you're at that point, the enemy is right there robbing you of your faith. You become anxious. You become worried. You become upset. You can become angry. You're unable to take another step of faith because you have lost your ability to walk in faith. You can't take a step of faith if you've lost your ability to walk in faith. And if we're honest, how often, come on now, how often do we take on the role of this young lady in the skit? But of course, that really wasn't a skit. That's reality. That's reality. And we miss out. You remember that? She went back and she was full of joy. She was excited. Yeah, God is awesome. Jesus. But later, when it seemed absolutely impossible, she couldn't do it. And she missed out. She missed out on the joy she could have experienced if she would have just obeyed in faith and let God show His awesome power and love in her midst. If you had a faith thermometer and taking your faith temperature, everybody just needs to have their own little faith thermometer. Where am I at today? And you can just see as that faith thermometer lowers, you got anxiety and fear and doubts and unbelief that are just rising up in you. These are days we need to come together and we need to build ourselves up as collectively and individually in the most holy faith. We need to come together. Why? To build ourselves up in the most holy faith, as Jude 20 tells us. We need to come together and remind ourselves that all of God's promises are what? They are yes and amen Amen says, it is so. It is so. We need to come together and remind ourselves of that continually. That's why we gather. And that's why it says in Hebrews, right before that chapter of faith in Hebrews 10, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love, good works, works of faith. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the days approaching. Why so much more? Because the days are approaching. And what we've been talking about, the shaking and the turbulence and the trials and the tribulations are going to increase. All the more, we need to be meeting together and encouraging ourselves in that most holy faith. The writer of Hebrews goes on from there. One main thing that we are to exhort and encourage everyone to hold on to, and that is faith. Faith in God. Faith in His promises. The just, it goes on to say right there after that, the just or the justified, they live by faith. And then comes that chapter 11. Chapter 11 with all its examples of genuine faith in the one true rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently, yes, thank you. That we have to emphasize that. And today I think of wise as we prepare ourselves for communion to strengthen ourselves in faith. Making clear again the very essential elements of what it means to be in Christ and Christ in us. And how the Lord delights in, what He delights in. What does the Lord delight in? What is the Lord pleased with in our lives? That and helping us to realize He'll always back up what He promises, what He says. His omnipotence, His omnipresence, as we walk out all the days of our life. Today, let's be reminded of just what we're saying when we say we believe in God. I believe in God. And you know, even the demons believe in God. Well, what do we mean when we say we believe in God? Not just saying that there is a God out there somewhere, but we have a God who knows us. We have a God who cares for us. We have a God who is for us. We have a God who is for us and not against us. Amen? We believe in the finished work of the cross. The finished work of the cross. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. We believe to put our faith and trust entirely in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in faith, what do? We rest. We rest upon His promises. We're not afraid. We're people who are not anxious. We're not worried. I'm confessing this over us, okay? David, I don't care. We're going to confess it. We're not worried. We're not anxious. We're not upset. We're not afraid. We're not bewildered. We are not confused but by life's trials, by life's circumstances, regardless of what they may appear. What they may appear is hopeless. They might appear final. There's no way. But God. But God. We can put our faith in Him. This is what separates us from the world. What separates a Christian from the world? It's faith that truly believes and acts on that faith every day. Every day. The world has to put their trust in man. They have to put their trust in organizations and in governments. And we know they will all fail. They will all fail. They won't always come through. But we put our faith in God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. And He is eternally faithful. I was at the service, death and resurrection service of Harvey Miller this past week, and his daughter Kendra was testifying that she always saw her dad as the rock, her rock, that she could depend on. I mean, he was always there for her. He always had the answer that she needed. He was very dependable. He was her rock. And as she was praying one day, she heard the Lord say, I don't want you to call your dad your rock anymore. I want you to call me your rock. And she was hearing that as a message from the Lord that her dad was not going to live much longer. And the Lord was telling her, you know, I'm your rock. I'm your rock. She needed the Lord to be her rock. Her dad was going to die. The Lord alone is the rock that cannot be moved. The Lord alone is the rock that is eternal. Psalms 20 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. They've bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and we stand upright. What a powerful passage. All the difference between where you really put your trust. We're a people who live by, not by sight, but we don't live by our feelings. Mm-hmm. That's right, no. Not by circumstances, not by man's reasoning or man's reports. We live by faith. So let us be reminded of our biblical faith. As we come to communion today, let us declare that we are children of Abraham, who because of faith was declared righteous. Abraham was 75 years old when he was given the word, the promise, that he'd be the father of many nations, yet he had not even had one child. And he was long in years. His wife Sarah was well past childbearing years. But for 25 years, Abraham continued to believe the promise. Yeah. 25 years. Man, I struggle to believe a promise one day. I started getting upset. Well, Lord, when are you going to come through on this one? 25 years he trusted the Lord's promise. Romans 4, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. He never failed to believe. Oh, he struggled to know how God was going to answer that promise. That's how we got the Ishmael story. But nevertheless, he continued to trust God would fulfill his promise. To have biblical faith is not wishful thinking. It's not mere positive thinking. Positive thinking, that's a human endeavor. Faith is a gift of God. How does faith come? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Over and over again, you keep hearing the word of God, and your faith begins to build and to grow. And it has the power to transform circumstances. It has the power to transform those circumstances into things that once were not, but now are. The writer of Hebrews tells us what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. That's what I loved about that skit, you know. Fall back. There's nothing. I can't see it. I was there, but I can't see it. I like the way the Amplified has this Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We're here today to remind ourselves that if we want to have hope for tomorrow, we must have faith for today. If we want hope for tomorrow, we have to have faith today. Hope leans upon faith. Romans 8, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, even as Abraham for 25 years. In faith, we can have real hope because of those things we hope for are the things that Christ himself told us to hope for and to believe for those things and not to doubt. Do not be anxious, he said, about anything. What do we do? Not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving. Yeah. Prayer and thanksgiving. We started today with thanksgiving. Present your request to God and the peace. Anybody lacking peace? And the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Can't understand this. Will guard your heart. Will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. When our world is shaken, and we see it shaken more and more every day, don't we? When our world is shaken, how much more must we cling to the promise? The Father, he takes care of the birds, takes care of the flowers, the field. How much more is he going to care for us? And what we don't have faith in, and when we don't have faith in God's promise to care for us, what happens? Anxiety, fear, worry, and we lose our peace. And this, of course, We need to hear this. When we get like that, we need to recognize this doesn't please God.
That's right.
I mean, the Word says it. I'm not saying this doesn't please God. Hebrews 11:6. I read it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There are so many. I wrote this down. There are so many in the church today there are so many of us in the church today who aren't pleasing the Lord. Not because we're falling into sin, but we are failing to just believe that God will make Himself known in every situation and meet our need at the moment we really need it. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I ask, he says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What is the reward? What is the reward? And you go back and you say, what did the Lord tell Abraham? And in a vision that He gave to Abraham in Genesis 15, it says this, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." The Lord Himself is the reward.
Amen.
Of those who seek Him. The Lord Himself, and if you have the Lord Himself, the Creator and the sustainer of all things, what else do you need? You have it all. You have the Lord. Amen. Jesus is with us, in us, and promises to meet that need we ask for. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. And understand the tense of this particular in the Greek is, ask and keep on asking. Keep seeking and keep knocking, and it will be open to you. But everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What pleases the Lord? Faith. Faith that does not waver in doubt. Being displeasing to God is a consequence of a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Failing to believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, so you don't. Failing to truly believe God will bless those who walk in His ways, so we don't. We wonder why people, they know the commands of God, they know the ways of God, but they don't walk in it because it really comes down to this. They don't really believe that God is the rewarder of those who do those things. Failing to believe God commands are for our good and not for evil. Failing to believe if we trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, He will make our path straight. Failing to believe His ways are perfect. Failing to believe there is a way that seems right to man, but at the end it leads to death, it leads to destruction. Failing to believe God will catch us when we fall into His arms and trust. Failing to believe that, so we don't. We won't. And in that skit, we fail to believe because we keep looking through our eyes and our reasoning and not God's. Remember that story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where the Syrian army is surrounding the city of Dothan and they're after Elisha, they're after, you know, capture Elisha, the prophet. And there was a servant there with Elisha and he was terrified as his army surrounded him and he cries out and he says, Lord, you know, what are we going to do? Oh, I'm afraid, you know, they're going to kill us all, you know. And Elisha just calmly standing there, you know, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, just open his eyes. And suddenly the servant saw and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. When we really get eyes of faith, our fear is gone. When we really have eyes of faith, our anxiety is dissipated.
Exactly.
Sometimes we need courage again in our faith to look at our life circumstances through the eyes of faith and believe. Really believe in the promise of God that are demonstrated and proven over and over in God's Word. Look at Matthew chapter 8, a leper, an incurable, wasting disease, comes to Jesus believing Jesus can heal him if Jesus will. And of course, Jesus wills. And he receives what he asks for because against all hope he hopes. A Roman soldier comes to Jesus asking to just speak a word of healing at a distance for his paralyzed servant. He understood authority. And he had faith in Jesus' authority from heaven to heal. Jesus said, man, I haven't seen such faith in all Israel. Jesus is saying, this man really believes in my authority.
Yeah.
Now, after this was interesting, that after these two accounts of these two individuals that had faith, that came to Jesus believing for healing, at the end of that it says, now after this, everyone's faith was stirred. And that evening, everyone is there to receive by faith what God has to offer, what Jesus has to offer. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, many were demon-possessed, were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. Notice that. Notice how a demonstration of faith is a catalyst for faith.
Yeah.
One person's faith ignites the faith of others.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that person becomes a thermostat that raises the faith thermometer in others. I believe and I trust, my heart is that Liberty Life will be a church that continues to be a faith thermostat for our community.
Agreed.
We don't come here always just to have our thermometers raised, but we are a church that, man, we have a thermostat on our wall that just keeps going up and up. Faith raising in this place, and people are experienced. They see what God has done. Maybe we ought to get a thermostat here. Says faith. Use that illustration like David does. I have to have that. We are to be thermostats, not thermometers. We're not up and down because of the situation, circumstance. We hold the temperature of faith in our midst. So, I'm going to cross over here. We are here today to encourage one another, knowing that one can truly believe, but if they don't act on that faith, they cannot receive. You know, faith has to be more than just saying, I have faith. We have to act on it, don't we? The woman with the issue of blood had to act on her faith that God would heal her. She had to fight through the crowd. She had to touch the hem of the robe before healing was released out of his body. Peter had to go fishing to catch the fish, to open the mouth, to get the coin, to pay for his and Jesus' taxes. That would be a hard one to do, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus telling him, you know, hey, you know, go fishing, go get, you know, when you catch the fish, just open its mouth, there'll be a coin there. What? Okay. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. They had a good testimony. And then the writer begins to list off those elders, those saints who had gone before, their testimony of faith. A testimony not just because they believed the word of God, but because they acted on the promise. They acted on the belief, on the word. Even before they saw any evidence of its validity. And that is faith that pleases God. Noah built an ark before there had ever even been rain on the earth. Much less a flood. Abram and Sarah, old, long past childbearing years. They had to know one another before they would ever receive the child. Come on, man. That's taking some faith. Bible says that the first way, that we start acting in faith is that we begin to speak in faith. And if we can't speak faith, we can't even have what we hope for. Mm-hmm. In the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." And so Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Those are words straight from the Lord. If you're believing for healing, are you speaking your health? Or are you speaking your sickness? Mm-hmm. Telling everyone your symptoms? Or are you coming together and agreeing for prayer what God is already at work doing? If you're praying for rain, you're carrying an umbrella? If you're believing for provision, are you speaking fear, anxious words filled, or words of faith? And celebrating every blessing, no matter how small it is. The words and actions that will follow our prayers reveal a lot about our faith level. The actions, the words and actions that follow our prayers reveals our faith level. What we settle for in life reveals a lot about our faith level. Many people are settling way below what God's plan and purpose is for their life because they can't believe that God has something greater and more. If you're disabled, are you by faith looking at the job listing for work once you are re-abled or restored? Sometimes we can't believe for something in one area of life. We can believe for something in one area of life, but we can't believe it in another area of our life. And it shuts down everything in our life. Often what hinders a person who for one reason or another is receiving government subsidies from really praying for and believing for healing of their disability is fear of losing the disability check once they're healed. This goes in a lot of different areas. I know a lot of people who, and I've run into this over and over in my 30-some years of ministry, people won't, they know they're living in sin. When they're living together and they won't get married, but they don't want to get married because if they get married, then they're going to lose the extra checks that they get. The tax situation is going to not be good for them. What? You can't believe that God will bless you by obeying His commands? That whatever you've lost here, you'll gain by multitudes over here? She's been resting in the Lord. There she goes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray for Beverly. Keep her alert, Father. Keep her awake. What you want to do for her? Let me be clear. God wants you to be free all over. God wants you to be free all over. Amen? Yeah. We can believe for it. We can believe for it all. That pleases God. If you're believing for provision, and any of us can fall here. If you're believing for provision, then get out all your bills. Put them in order of their due dates. Stamps on the envelope. And have them ready. when you receive the cash or the check when it's available. Thank God in advance for it. Thank God in advance for the extra work coming your way. Thank God for the supernatural blessings that will be needed. That's operating in faith. You're doing something. You're acting. You're showing God, Lord, I believe that you will meet our needs. And you're showing me, giving me wisdom in what I need to do in order to bring that to a reality. Thank God in advance for the extra work. It's hard for people without faith to tithe. I mean, if you can't meet even the most basic living expenses on 100% of your income, how in the world are you going to do it on 90%? Right. It's not possible, not reasonable to believe a promise like that. It's not reasonable to believe, give and it shall be given unto you. Or with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you here, more will be given. Yet I know there's a multitude of individuals in this sanctuary right now, and I could point them out to you, who have stepped out. They have so many testimonies on what God has blessed them with as they tithe, over and abundantly more than they could ever think or imagine. Amen? Faith believes before eye sees. In Romans, Paul speaks of Abraham's faith in God, who gives life to the dead and calls these things which do not exist as though they did. But such a faith and such a response of faith is not confined to the Bible patriarchs. The Word says in Mark, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And modern day examples of that occur all the time. I mean, I love to read daily magazines, things we see over the internet and things like that. We see God so at work in so many ways. I've shared this before. One of the most marvelous examples of someone living on biblical faith was George Mueller. And Mueller had 2 shillings to his name when he began his orphanage work in Bristol, England in 1832. And what I liked about Mueller resolved never to tell anyone what his needs were. He was going to depend totally on God. Nobody's even going to know what his needs were. And he told them to God, and he confidently expected them to be met. And many times he gave prayers was said over empty plates, over all the orphans. They're just at the table, they're praying, there's no food in the house, and they have empty plates, and he just prays and he gives thanks for the Lord for the food that they have before them. And at the last minute, there's a knock on the door. You know, the milk truck or the egg truck just broke down outside. Hey, I gotta get rid of all this. You know, just things like that over and over and over again. And over the next 60 years, God sent more than $7.5 million to supply their needs. And that was an unheard of amount at that time. That'd be like $300 million today. $300 million the Lord provided to this man just because he stepped out in faith and believed every day. And he built orphanages, he built hospitals, he built schools, and over 120,000 young people and orphans were raised by him. Mueller is a great example of faith. I was another testimony of the service the other day of Harvey Miller. His faith was brought out during that service over and over. His daughter Keisha was adopted, and she shared how Harvey and his wife Carolyn were so excited to be on the schedule to receive an adopted child. And they had already picked her out, and they were just waiting to get her. But the cost of the adoption was $1,000, and they didn't have it. But they were planning to go and get her and bring her home. They didn't have anything. Up to the night before, they still didn't have anything. And the night before, there was a knock on the door, and there was a guy there with a sack in his hand. He said, I think you're supposed to have this. Gave it to him, walked away. Opened the sack, it was $1,000, you know. And Keisha was sharing that. She asked him later, Keisha asked him later about hearing that story. Weren't you frantic? You know, you didn't have any money. And Harvey just said, no, God would provide. We knew that. And if you knew Harvey, you know he was just like that. He had an incredible faith. A lot of believers start out in faith, walk out that faith. They don't have so much persistence as things get difficult. And in so doing, we often miss experience the greatest miracles and the greatest moves of God. Yeah. I'm just here tonight to just encourage you. Let's experience the greatest moves of God.
Yes.
Things are changing. Things are happening. There's great expectation. I know a young couple that may be coming into this church as pastors. They have a tremendous faith. And they'll take us long into great things. James calls the person that doubts as double-minded and unstable. We are not like that. I'm not going to read that passage due to time, but you know it. Well, what if the miracle, some people say, but what, you know, you step out in faith, what if the miracle doesn't happen? You know, what if it does? You know, why don't we say, what if it does, man? Why not try it? We know this. Here is faith. When there is genuine faith, God will always provide what is needed. Always. Maybe not always as we expect. And I like this chapter in Hebrews 11, and sometimes we overlook it, but that chapter, that's this verse in chapter 11, has a segment on those who didn't see the miracle. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment, that they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. Where is the reward of their faith? Even in those circumstances, what? They had the Lord Himself with them. Who strengthened them? Who brought them joy in the midst of pain? Who brought them hope in the midst of loss? Who brought them an absolute assurance of a better resurrection? Gave them the greater witness that led others to believe also. So today, I'm just summing us up with Hebrews 10:35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So today we come to this table of remembrance of our Lord, who demonstrates for us what faith in God can do. Faith that receives the Lord Himself as a reward. Faith to receive all the benefits of His atoning work on the cross. By His stripes we are healed. Faith to heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. Faith to believe that He took upon Himself the sins of the whole world and gave us the right to be the children of God.
That's right.
Well, hallelujah. Faith to believe all things are possible to those who believe.
That's right.
So today we come to this table in faith, partaking of the spiritual body and blood of Christ, a demonstration of seeking Him who is our great reward. We come today to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
Diligently seek Him, the rewarder of our faith. And in coming, in faith, what does it do? Pleases the Lord. So those of you who have been asked to help serve today, I'd ask that you would just come. Let me consecrate these elements. I'm just going to have the worship team come forward first to receive the elements, and they can be prepared to sing. But Vicki, if you just put on something right now. Let me consecrate these elements, and then I'll ask you just to come by faith to receive the blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Today we remember, O Lord, that night you gave yourself up for us. You took the bread and the cup. Blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth the bread of heaven. The bread of life. Lord, as we come today, we remember and we give thanks for your body. And by your stripes we're healed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we come believing and trusting. Whatever we need in this physical body of ours and in this physical life in which we live, Father, that you are the one who provides. And Lord, on that night where you gave yourself up for us, you took the cup, you blessed it. Blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Lord, we thank you for your blood. Without the shedding of blood, we believe there is no forgiveness of sin. So, Lord, by faith, we receive the sacrifice of Christ's blood for us, and that we, in believing, demonstrate it by being a people who say, yes, I am righteous before the Lord because of what the Lord has done for me. I am not laden with guilt, but I am free, free of all sin because of what the blood of Jesus has done. Thank you, Jesus. We come by faith. Bless, O Lord, the gifts of these elements, that they may truly be for us the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.